Alrighty, if you have your Bible, turn to John chapter 4. We have been doing a series called City Changers, and last week I hear Linda Dumkin preached up a storm talking about Daniel and how not just a city but was able to influence a nation. We've talked about Nehemiah, an administrator. Daniel would be an advisor in terms of like a business consultant today. That would be sort of his role. Nehemiah was an administrator. We talked about a lady named Dorcas from the book of Acts, and she was a dressmaker and cared for the poor. That was her strategy. We talked about in Nehemiah that he was a man of prayer, and that's how God gave him insight. We talked about Philip in Acts chapter 8, who was a waiter, and God used him with signs and wonders and miracles to change a city. And today we're going to be looking at a lady that we don't even know her name, John chapter 4. So on the screen, if you want to follow along, we're going to read the scriptures, and it starts in verse 13. It says this: Jesus answered, this is the woman at the well, Samaritan lady. Jesus answered, they're already into a discussion, so I've picked up the story. Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water that I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. Jesus told her, Go call your husband and come back. I have no husband, she replied. Jesus said to her, You are right when you say that you have no husband. The fact is, you've had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you've just said is quite true. Sir, the woman said, I can see that you're a prophet. Skip a few verses. The woman said, Now she's going back to her village. The woman said, I know that Messiah called Christ, this is before she goes to the village, that the Messiah is coming. And when he comes, he will explain everything to us. And then Jesus declared, I who speak to you am he. Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back into the town and said to the people, Come see a man who told me everything I did. Could this be the Christ? Could this be the Messiah? They came out of the town and made their way towards him. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. Now, actually, how many things did Jesus tell her? One. But in terms of her things that she had done, John, you got to stay, you got to be listening, John. One thing that Jesus told her about herself, and that was that she'd had five husbands. So she all of a sudden she goes, this guy knows everything. That's how many people like we feel around prophets. Many of the Samaritans from the town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. And so when the Samaritans came to him, to Jesus, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of Jesus' words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. It's an amazing, amazing story. And it's one lady that we don't even have her name that quickly embraces Jesus, and because of her testimony, because of what God did in her, her reach, her influence was just somehow she's well known. So I don't know. There's nothing in this passage that says that she's a prostitute. She's had five husbands. And so maybe she's just a celebrity. Maybe she's rich. Somehow she knows everybody, and everybody knows her. And so when she goes back, everyone goes, oh my goodness. And they follow her out to see Jesus, and they convince Jesus, stay in our town. And so Jesus stays in a Samaritan village where Jews didn't stay for 2 more days, and the town, the city, was transformed. Isn't that amazing? So this morning we're going to talk about the prophetic. So the first thing we see here is that Jesus is just in a conversation with her. And he says this, go call your husband and come back. Now, I cannot prove this to you, but here's my guess. I don't think Jesus is prophesying right now. I think he's just in a conversation and doesn't realize that the Holy Spirit is taking over his words and has just dropped something that's prophetic into the conversation. That's my guess. Now, some of you are going, no, Jesus knows everything. No, he, well, yeah, he, it's, yes, he does and he doesn't. When he was on planet Earth, Jesus did not use any of the God powers that he was born with. The Bible is very clear on that. He functioned like you and me. He was absolutely tied into revelation that God gave him. And I can't prove it. This is my guess, is that while he's talking to her about living water and things like that, he just drops it and says, you know, go get your husband. That's the big one. Number two, when you realize that you're in the flow, when you realize, oh my goodness, the Holy Spirit's using me right now, usually more comes to you right at that moment. And now Jesus, I think, is in the Spirit in a far different way, and he goes, okay, well, here I got more for you. You've had five husbands, and the guy you're living with isn't your husband. Okay, well, now he's really got her attention. Yes? Can I tell you a story that happened in Mozambique? On the Saturday that we arrived, it's 2:30 in the afternoon, and we get settled, our team have an orientation, and 6 o'clock comes, and everyone heads down to the dining room for rice and beans. And Sandra and I are invited to go out for dinner to a restaurant with the leadership team, and they're going to be giving us sort of another orientation about what they like our teams to do, what they like Sandra and I to do that week. And so we go to a restaurant that turns out to be an Indian/Chinese restaurant. And the manager is a lady from Brazil, and I'm just quickly introduced to her. That's all. It's just, you know, this is the manager, and that's it. We sit down, we have a meal, come back. Well, we had decided before our team got to Mozambique that there's 40 missionaries on that base that work with Roland and Heidi, and there's 39 of us. And so if each one of us paid for one person, we could take all their team out for dinner one night. And so we asked them that, can we do that? As it turns out, the easiest thing was to have a meal brought in. So the very same restaurant where I'd been is the only one that's really capable of bringing a meal for 80 people. And so we ordered curried chicken and curried rice. And I was the one paying, so my choice. And I think you know I love curry, so anyways. So I've got $800, and I go down to the restaurant with Liesl from our church and with one of the other Africans as well. And we're there, and it's like 15 minutes. The food's not completely ready. It's almost ready. And so the lady is there. Vanda is her name. And she's probably about 40 years of age, attractive lady. And we're just having a conversation, waiting, pay my bill, waiting for the food to come, just chit-chatting. And because I'm her biggest customer of the day, she's spending time with me. And just in the normal conversation, I usually slip in sometime near the end, excuse me, but do you have pain in your body? So I say that. And she goes, no, I'm in very good health, but I'd be very happy for you to pray for me so that I don't have pain. So I do that. And I said, does your husband have pain? Do you know what she says? I don't have a husband, I have a friend. It was like John 4. It's like, oh my goodness, this is on the Wednesday. And then I said to her, I didn't realize, I just found my mouth saying things, and Steve Long has a bad habit of saying things before he really thinks. It's getting better. The Lared principle of restraint is one that I've gone through 5 times already. I find myself, when she says, I'm not married, I have a friend, I found myself asking this, does he love you? Well, I didn't realize that that question could cause ladies emotional trauma. And her heart has just been opened up. And she begins to cry. She says, I don't think he does. And it's like, oh my goodness, my goodness. I thought we were just having a casual conversation here. We're not. And I now have another word from the Lord. And it's like, ma'am, I really feel that God says you are more important to him than just being used by a man for his pleasure. So then the chef runs out. Okay, everything's ready. It's time to go. And I've left this lady like really, you know, I haven't got, you know. And it's, we literally have to run. And I said, I will come back and I'll bring my wife. So Saturday, that was a Wednesday. Saturday, we're flying out. We check in at the airport. We've got 2 hours. We go back to the restaurant, which is 2 minutes drive away. And we walk in, Sandra's first time to meet Vonda. And we're with an American couple that are our drivers. And we get her to come and sit at our table. I buy her coffee. And we have a 15-minute, 20-minute conversation. Talk with her, minister to her. And Sandra, at one point, as she's breaking down again, goes over, sits beside her, and the two of them just have a little conversation that no one else hears, and Sandra leads her to Jesus. It was amazing. It was very, very good. And I was like, it was like, how cool is that? Like, this was not Acts chapter 2, this is John chapter 4 for Steve Long. Just the casual conversation. All of a sudden, I find myself saying something I didn't realize was a God statement. It causes a reaction. I now say something more. It causes another reaction, and we're into it. We're into it. That's exactly what happened with Jesus. Next one, Sue. Number 3, the prophetic opens up people to knowing God. Look at the reaction of this lady. She says, I see that you're a prophet. Well, I think she's backtracking a little bit and going, oh my goodness, I didn't realize when I came to the water well today to get some water that I'd be meeting a prophet. I didn't realize we're going to be having a cross-examination here. But she's open to him. And then she goes on to say, I know that the Messiah is coming. So who's making a connection that Jesus may be the Messiah? This lady is. She's jumped from Jesus is just prophetic. He's a psychic. That's usually the word that you're going to get from people in our world. Don't worry about if they call you a psychic. Don't change them. Just go with it. You can change them later. And all of a sudden she's gone from Jesus is psychic to maybe, you know, I believe in the Messiah. Well, how does a lady go from a jump from thinking you're a prophet to the Messiah? It's God beginning to work instantly in this lady's life. And Jesus continues that conversation. Number 4 thing that happened is that because this lady goes back, and however it is, she has influence. Now, if she has been sleeping around, which the Bible doesn't say, and she announces to people, come and meet a man who told me everything I ever did, there's a whole bunch of men that are a little squirmish right about now. Oh dear, should we go or should we not go? But whatever happens, however it happens, this lady has influence, and everyone comes to see Jesus, the Bible says, and she says, seek a man who told me everything I did. Could this be the Messiah? That's a big jump, isn't it? God opened her heart because of the prophetic gifting. So as we've been looking at these city changers, Nehemiah was a man of prayer. God gave him strategies because he prayed. We can do that. God gave Daniel wisdom. We can ask for wisdom, can't we? God gave Philip, a waiter, signs and wonders. He did miracles. That's how he changed cities. God uses all different techniques, and every one of us is wired in some special way to have influence with other people. Did you know that? Go like this, yes. Tell the person on your left or your right how you're wired. I'm more prophetic. I'm good at signs and wonders. I'm a wise person. I'm a wise guy. Now, if you're Italian, maybe you are a wise guy. Number 5. Here's the wrap-up in this story. One word, one prophetic word that Jesus probably didn't even know he was giving, one word to one woman changed the city. It says this, many of the Samaritans from that town believed in Jesus because of the woman's testimony that he told me everything I did. And another verse later on, it says, they said, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. Now just before we get into the next part, let me just talk about those of you that are here today that need to know that Jesus is the Savior of the world. That's a very interesting little phrase, that Jesus is the Savior of the world. Do you live in the world? Well, the answer is obvious. Yes, we do. And this lady who's just had a God experience in her spirit recognizes Jesus is the Savior of the world. Isn't that amazing? And the people who have just had an experience understand Jesus is the Savior of the world. The word Savior is a very interesting word. It implies that every single person needs saving. Saving from what? The big issue that every one of us is born with is called sin. We don't like that word. It actually is in the dictionary. It's a word. We don't like to use it, but it's a word. And the word sin says basically this. All the things that we've ever said, all the things that we've ever done, and most damning of all, our thoughts separate us from God. And the Bible says that one of our sins will separate us from God for eternity. And now most people don't know that. Most people in our world don't believe that. But that's what the Bible teaches. And the absolute good news is that God knows that. And God cares about you and me so much that he wanted to have a solution to that problem and not leave us that we're lost. He sent a Savior named Jesus Christ, and we celebrate his birth and Christmas. We remember at Easter the fact that the big deal in his life was that he died on a cross. And he didn't die for, as John says, to make a great movie. That's not why he died. Jesus died because of sin. And every one of us in this room at some point is going to stand before God, and we have a choice. We either say, I let Jesus come into my life. I accepted his life on the cross as a substitute for my penalty. Or we say, I didn't invite Jesus into my life. I will pay the penalty. And when we get to heaven, no one's going to want to pay the penalty. Because the penalty is eternal separation from God in a place called hell that wasn't even made for human beings. It was made for demons. And so we get this opportunity, just like those people did a couple thousand years ago, of coming to the place to say, I believe that Jesus is the Savior of the world. I'd like everyone just to close your eyes right now, because I'm going to give people in this room an opportunity for you to just let that penny drop into your heart this morning, that you need a Savior. You may have come into this room and had no clue that you needed a Savior. Maybe a friend invited you today. Maybe you just drove by. Maybe something in your spirit said, yeah, I should go to church today, and you find yourself here. Well, I'm glad you're here because you were listening to God. When your friend invited you here, and you're going, and you said, yes, you were listening to God. God set you up for today because he loves you so much. Just like I said to that Brazilian lady, he doesn't want some person to just use you. God cares about you. He cares about your eternity. He cares about your soul. And he sent Jesus to die on a cross for you. And all we need to do is just to say, okay, I receive that. I believe that. And these people, they received Jesus. They welcomed him. They acknowledged what he said. They believed that he was the sent one from God. And so all I'd like you to do right now, those of you that aren't sure if you were to die today, that you'd go and be with God forever. You can absolutely be sure. The Bible says you can know for sure today. And that's by just simply saying, Jesus, I believe that you are the Savior of the world. I acknowledge that I have sinned in my life, and I want to invite you to be part of my life. How about we say this prayer together? I know that many of you, most of you probably have already at some point made a heart connection with Jesus. But for the sake of those that are here today and they're just sort of grasping that reality, how about we say this prayer together? Jesus, I acknowledge I need you. I do need a Savior. I have lots of sins in my resume. And one of them will separate me from you. I do not want to stand before God and say, I will take the penalty. I want Jesus to take my penalty. And so I invite Jesus to come into my life, to forgive me of all of my sins, to cleanse me, wash me clean, give me a new start, and be my Savior. Thank you, Jesus. I'd like everyone just to stand up real quick. We're going to do a couple things, but real quick, the first thing I'd like you to do is if you prayed that prayer with me, not just because I asked you to say it, but because you wanted to say it, because you were giving your life to Jesus today, can I get you just to put your hand up real quick like this? Put your hands up, okay? There's a couple of people. Great. There's people all over the room. Great. Can I get you to do something fun Well, I think it's fun. Can I get you to come right down to the front here? Those of you who put your hand up. We've got some people that just want to pray with you right now. And just to for you to experience God. Like the best part of God is not just that he's in heaven, but he's real. And we want you to experience God. Just come on up. Guys, come over here. Come up this way. If you put your hand up, just come right up here. Great. Where are the men? It's ladies today. Over there, yeah, come on over here. Great. If you brought a friend this morning, can you turn to your friend and say, oh, I didn't plan for them to set you up like this, but I'll go to the front with you if you'd like to go to the front. Just talk to your neighbor. If you brought a friend, just say, I'll go to the front if you'd like me to go with you. It's not the coming up to the front is a huge, huge deal, and yet it is. You're making a statement before God and your friends and even people you don't know that you're a follower of Jesus. Can I get some of our cell leaders just to come and stand with these friends? Now, what we're going to pray for is for you to begin to experience God, the reality of what you just prayed, that Jesus has come into you and has saved you for your sins. So God, come into their bodies right now, into your mind, into your spirit, every part of who you are, that you just begin to realize you feel his love for you. You feel his love. Church, just pray more for them right now. God, come. God, come. God, come. Be real to them, Daddy. Be real to them. Be real to them. Come, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Now, those of you with these folks, just stay with them real quick. Just stay with them for a few minutes. Church, I'd like you to get you into a group of two. We're going to go one step further. See if you can put me back on the screen. Here's what I'd like you to do. Find a person you do not know. Move around. Some of you, that's going to be just turn around. Some of you, that's going to be someone you're going to have to walk across an aisle. And we're going to practice the prophetic this morning. So I want you to go to someone you have no clue who they are. Can you do that? Just look around. Find someone. Okay, have you found someone? So here's what I'd like you to do. Just like Jesus, as he's speaking truth, in the middle of speaking truth, the prophetic began to flow in Jesus' life. So I would like you to quote a scripture verse to that person that you're with. Just any scripture verse. Anyone you know. And just say that over them. And then see if the Lord gives you something else to say. And just practice. And once they've done that, then you can give feedback and say, oh, that was my favorite verse. Thank you. I was thinking about that verse today. That word you said, that's true. So practice on each other. Speak a verse from the Bible. Just quote it. Once you said the verse, see if the Lord says something for that person. Keep it short to 30 seconds. I feel God today wants you to know that he sees you as beautiful. Or I feel God's about to give you a raise at your job. I think God's going to do this. I think God's going to do that. And then give your friend some feedback afterwards and say, thank you. Appreciate that, but I don't think anything was meaningful. All the way to, oh my goodness, how did you know that? So once one of you's gone, then flip around and have the other person give a scripture verse to you. Those of you that are watching at home on Catch Fire TV, I hope someone's with you to do this little exercise as well. If not, look at the mirror and just quote a random scripture verse over yourself and prophesy over yourself. Okay, church, 30 seconds and we'll wrap up. I got one more thing to do. Okay, church, listen to me. A couple wrap-up things this morning. Those of you that are newcomers, first time here, second time here, third time here, as you walk out right at the door, we have some free CDs for you this morning as a little gift to say thank you for being with us this morning. Church family, if you've been here more than four times, not for you, just for the guests. So don't help yourself and put it in someone's stocking as a Christmas gift. But newcomers, first time, second time, third time, head to the welcome desk. And if you didn't fill in one of those little response cards, how we can get to know you, you can drop it off there. Help yourself to one of the CDs as a gift. 2 o'clock this afternoon. Once a month, we pray for the nation of Israel. And this afternoon at 2 o'clock, we're going to be having a time. Actually, it's going to be in this main room right here, 2 o'clock. So if you'd like to stay for that. And if you didn't join School of Champions and you're still thinking of doing that, we have a 2 o'clock session. So you're able to grab lunch and stay and be part of that at 2 o'clock. God bless you. Thank you so much. Flow in the prophetic this week in your work. Get ready for God to use you to slip in something in a conversation, and you never know who you're going to be talking to. You never know how God's going to set you up because you're a prophet, because you're flowing the prophetic. So God bless you.